Hello and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Mattoon Public Library. I'm Carl Walworth, the library director. This podcast is designed to fulfill three key items in our library board's vision, which are sparking ideas, enriching lives, and strengthening community. Now, podcasts have been around for a while, but they're new at the library. This has been in the development stage for just a few weeks. We don't quite have all of our equipment in place, so this week we're fortunate to be in the studios over at WEIU taping. Thanks to Jeff Owens and the staff and team over here for making the facility available. If we have a challenge or two as we develop our podcast, I hope you'll bear with us, as I think many of the people, you'll enjoy the perspectives and insights of our guests into life about Mattoon and the surrounding community in the weeks and months and hopefully years ahead. The plan is to have a guest or guest each week who represent a broad range of backgrounds. And then we'll have the podcast on our website, www.mattoonlibrary.org, and available for you to listen at your convenience. Please direct any questions, comments, or suggestions to me at carl@mattoonlibrary.org. You're welcome to call me at 234-1710. We'd love to hear from you. We're fortunate this morning to have Dick Lumpkin as our first guest. As many of you know, Dick's great-grandfather, Iverson Lumpkin, founded Mattoon Telephone Company back in 1894, a good number of years ago. That company became Illinois Consolidated Telephone Company, and today we know it as Consolidated Communications. Dick is a founding director of the company and fourth generation of his family to lead a telecommunications business that looks quite a bit different than it did in 1894. Dick personally and members of his family and many, many employees have had and continue to have significant impact in all kinds of ways in life in our region, including longstanding support for the Mattoon Public Library, which is much appreciated. Dick, welcome.
Thank you, Carl. It's good to be here.
Yeah. So I had four general kind of topics I think we might cover this morning, and we'll see where it leads. One is just to talk a little about life in Mattoon, maybe a few years ago, a little bit about library history. Since this is a library event and we're in the learning business, a little about lifelong learning, and then maybe wrap up with a current event or two. This is being taped on the Monday after a great weekend in downtown Mattoon, including the dedication of Heritage Park. So why don't we just start with maybe go down memory lane a little bit, and if you have a favorite memory or some stories of Mattoon in the days you grew up or downtown or your family, or I'll just kind of open it up.
Well, that's a wide open invitation. You know, I graduated, I didn't graduate actually, because I went away to school, but I was in the Mattoon High School class of 1952, so you can do the math and know roughly how old I am and how far I go back in Mattoon. My memories of Mattoon, when I was a young man, were of an extremely vital, bustling downtown where Broadway was, at that time was only two lanes wide, but the traffic would be bumper to bumper on a Saturday. All the parking spots which were diagonal would be full, and the people on the sidewalk on Saturday night would just fill the sidewalks, and you could hardly walk without dodging people as you went down the street. Unfortunately, over the years, much of the retail business has moved to more modern facilities out east of town, and the community has suffered from that. But the telephone company still maintains its headquarters in downtown Mattoon, and we feel a desire and a need to see a vital community. So that's why we have contributed both as the company and as a family to different activities like the depot renovation, the YMCA, and most recently the park, which just opened up yesterday. So.
Mm-hmm. And they had a great turnout down there, I understand, with some live music and the artworks group and a good mix of folks in downtown.
Well, it's designed to attract people both to just sit and enjoy the outdoors, to take part in some exercise activities, as well as there is a bandstand which is designed for performances of one sort or another, and the purpose is to attract people back into the downtown, and certainly yesterday was a good test, and there were a large crowd and all having a good time.
Yeah, good. Thinking back to what you mentioned earlier, what were some of the things that people did downtown when you couldn't get by on the sidewalks? What was a typical evening like?
Oh, there was, for the farmers in particular, who Saturday night was a night to get cleaned up and come to town and do their shopping, but also visit.
Mm-hmm.
And there were crowds of people standing and talking. My grandmother in particular, I always remembered, would park her car right in front of what had been the old Byers Hotel, and people would, she would sit in her car, and people would come by and visit, it was a great social activity.
Could you see movies and that kind of thing as well?
There were three movie theaters downtown in those days, and there were big crowds at the movie theater. 1894.
We're talking about the history of the Mattoon Library, and I know you've done some homework on that. I know it has a long history in Mattoon.
Well, I am familiar to some degree because my wife was involved as a director of the library for many years. The library itself was organized by the city of Mattoon in 1893, and they leased a couple of rooms in the Holmes building for a year or so, and then moved into the old city hall, which was on 17th Street, and they decided that they needed a building, and at that time Andrew Carnegie was financing libraries all over the United States, and Louis Lehman, the president of what is now First Mid-Illinois Bank, made an application to Andrew Carnegie and forwarded some plans for a new building and asked for $20,000. Andrew Carnegie reviewed the plans, agreed to provide $20,000 to build the library, contingent on the city putting up $2,000 a year to maintain it. Well, when the bids came in, they found that the library was going to cost $25,000, and Mr. Lehman went back to Andrew Carnegie, who agreed to provide the additional $5,000, provided that the city would up their annual contribution by $500 a year. So he was a shrewd old Scotsman.
that he was, and one who helped a lot of communities with their public libraries as well. So the library has a long history and is a great location, a centerpiece of Mattoon. I know it went along for a long time and maybe hit a, I don't know if it's a turning point, but certainly from a building standpoint in 1990, it was time to make some improvements, and you know a little about that.
Well, the board, I think, was very anxious to sort of bring the library up to modern times. And one of the first things they did was to strip all the paint off of all of the woodwork in the library. Back to its original condition, which is really quite attractive. and there were some women who had been involved in a similar activity with the Coles County Courthouse, and they applied what they had learned to the Mattoon Library as well. In the 1990s, there was a desire to put on an addition, and particularly driven by the fact that there was no handicapped access to the library. There were a flight of stairs getting up to the front door. So they hired an architect, a local architect, developed a plan. Don Hance was the architect, and the city agreed to float bonds for $1 million. They had some money set aside for improving the library as well, there was a public fundraising campaign led by Ron Morris, and they raised some $600,000 to complete the current addition to the library, and provide elevator access as well to the second floor, and repurpose some of the rooms to accommodate more modern uses of the library.
And part of that, as you walk up the steps, for those of you who use the library, which I hope is most of you, the original part, the front part of the desk is original to the building. It needs a little maintenance. We're not going to paint it, but it needs a little maintenance, and we intend to do that and keep some of that woodwork that really stands out and makes the library the great building that it is. Why don't we talk a second about the evolution of telecommunications and how that came about. I know you said in the 1950s the Mattoon kind of came up to date, and then we had a kind of a period to get there, and then things keep changing, however, in that world.
Well, of course, when the telephone company started, a local call required the intervention of an operator, and I'll take a little aside and talk about the fact that when my great-grandfather conceived the idea that he wanted to start a telephone company, he and the president of the bank at the time decided that they would invest some of their own money, and my great-grandfather went to Chicago to buy a switchboard. And the president of the bank said, Dr. Lumpkin, he said, I think a 25-line switchboard will take care of us for the foreseeable future. And my great-grandfather came back with a 250-line switchboard, and when he cut it into service, he had 175 customers. So it's grown and prospered over the years. The technology didn't change much until after the end of World War II. And at that time, while dial service was common in the big cities, it wasn't until that time that it began to become common in the rural areas, and Mattoon was converted to dial in 1950. Charleston followed a couple of years later, and that technology didn't last terribly long until there were lots of changes going forward, and the technology today is leaps ahead of dial telephone service in encompassing cable television and internet access as well as wireline telephone service.
More ways to communicate than there ever were, and people like different methods of communicating, be it maybe that's good, because I think there's probably more communication than there ever was, or more ways to communicate, but keeping track of it all certainly is a challenge. Let's talk a minute about kind of lifelong learning. And I mean, libraries, I think, are advocates of that. I know they are, and promote that, and ways that you stay on top of things or don't stay on top of things, and then maybe an activity that you've engaged in recently out at your alma mater.
Well, you know, specifically with respect to the telephone company, I'm still involved on the board of directors, but I would be the first to admit that I do not keep up with the technology anymore. It's a challenge, and keeping up with all the other changes in the structure and the regulation and so forth is a challenge. I had the benefit of a good liberal arts education, and I have tried to continue to be a lifelong learner. I have just come back from an opportunity at my alma mater last week, in which they offered through the Alumni Association a one-week course on world history, and this is the third year I've attended this. It's a very intense course, requires a lot of reading prior to the course, and the highlight of it, frankly, was Friday of this week, I had the opportunity to sit down with a group of 20 people and Henry Kissinger, who is now 94 years old but still mentally very sharp, and have a discussion with him about his recollections of the opening of China and relations with Soviet Russia and so forth and so on.
Interesting. I'm sure that was fascinating. You mentioned that you have a book that covers some values that you read at a young age and that still maybe resonates with you.
Well, when people ask me what my favorite book was, I always say that it was King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And I read that when I was a teenager, obviously. There was a message there about people who were willing to put their lives on the line for things that they believed in, and they had a code of honor and subscribed to some very important values, and that has, interestingly enough, influenced me throughout my life, as I say, when people ask me what's the most important book in my life, it's really it's almost a children's book. But
yeah, good. And we started by talking a little about community and the Heritage Park that the Lumpkin family and its foundation have donated to the city of Mattoon. And I know there are some wonderful murals downtown, the depot and the YMCA. And while it's not the way it was in the 50s, the downtown in Mattoon has a vibrancy about it and some good things that are happening. And you just mentioned a book that talks about values, and maybe talk just a minute about how, communities like Mattoon, maybe that people and the values are really important to sustain them and kind of make them.
Well, yes, I think of communities like Mattoon as really jewels. I was raised here, my father was raised here, my children were raised here. I think that there is a sense of community in a town the size of Mattoon that is that is hard to duplicate in metropolitan areas. There, there is a sense of looking after your neighbor, a sense of giving to others and supporting their activities. There's a compactness and a familiarity of people in the community that is hard to achieve. We talk about diversity. Diversity is a wonderful thing, and it increases our perspective and leads to a lot of innovation. And I think America benefits a great deal from the diversity of our culture. At the same time, I find it sometimes overwhelming. There is so much diversity that you sometimes tend to lose track of and who you are and what you stand for. And I think small communities in America are very important and very valuable, and we have seen across America communities like Mattoon lose their vibrancy because the retail establishments move out into modern facilities outside the center of the town. And what we have done is try to support activities that re-innervate the downtown of Mattoon, and there are more activities that aren't retail but contribute to the education and the entertainment and health, good health practices like the YMCA and the new park, which was just dedicated yesterday. And I think Mattoon has done a really good job of sort of recreating downtown and what it has to contribute to the population.
Great. And again, thank you personally and your family and the foundation and the employees that you've had over many years who have volunteered and done really every piece of aspect of life in this region. And the impact is tremendous, and it's much appreciated and noticed. And appreciate you being here today. For those of you who are interested in maybe visiting the park, Fridays over the lunch hour is a great time. There's live music in the summer. Bring your lunch or have lunch downtown. There are several excellent restaurants. Come down and see us downtown Mattoon on Fridays. And as far as lifelong learning, I encourage you to check out the library. The second floor has all kinds of children's activities. We're developing some new activities on the first floor for seniors and adults. Stay tuned on that. And we just want to continue to be a cornerstone, using the public library in downtown Mattoon as a cornerstone for life and as a resource for people to use to better their lives. So we really appreciate Dick Lumpkin taking some time to be with us today. And we hope you'll check in with us again next week for the podcast from the Mattoon Public Library.